The Golden Day, 29 February, the Day of the Lord. This is the message chosen today by the Sri Aurobindo Ashram to commemorate this anniversary of the supramental manifestation upon earth. It reads, "The step from man toward Superman is the next approaching achievement in the Earth's evolution. There lies our destiny and the liberating key to our aspiring but troubled and limited human existence. Inevitable because it is at once the intention of the inner spirit and the logic of nature's process." Written around 1930, unpublished, a summary statement of our goal. Of course, the entirety of The Life Divine was written as an argument as to why this manifestation of a supramental consciousness was inevitable and destined to occur on this, our globe, working its way upward as it descended from below to manifest in the regent soul, truth, perfection, beauty. All of those things which are native to the supramental consciousness. We've seen in our study of the Life Divine that Sri Aurobindo regards the supramental as the first expression of the Satchit Ananda awareness, of that reality which has no name, which outstrips all definitions. We can say to connote what it is, that it is, that it is aware, and that its nature of itself is delight. But this supreme existence is a triune reality, three in one. It only exists, there is only the one. But when this one, because its consciousness is instinct with power, wishes to move into a dynamic dance, then creating its own rhythms, it breathes force and consciousness into a constellated manifestation in which oneness is not lost, but the one becomes manifold, becomes many. Each individual thread of that manifestation is aware of the all and aware also of the one from which it comes. So it is perfect in balance as it is perfect in expression. This first word, you might say, of the divine is the supramental. And if we were to think of those occasions when we have a glimpse of truth, an unerring, deep, penetrating insight into the affairs of things, we might say that a ray of truth has arrived upon us. But this supramental consciousness is like a sun, full of that radiance, and every ray is aware of all the other rays, and yet there's only that one golden globe, gold. Hiranya, in Sanskrit, is the readiest symbol that we have for what is the nature of that supramental awareness. If supermind can be figured as gold, we see it as golden in light. We see it as golden in sweetness, as if it were honey, madhu. And if it is an all-comprehensive and all-reconciling power, and if this world from which we are emerging in our own personal awareness is a world in which division seems to reign, in which suffering instances our lives as much as does joy, then we, through this limited experience, are pushed to find our greater self and to find that greater consciousness above, to leave behind the thraldom to ignorance, no longer to ignore our greater self, but to rise to it. And if we so rise, not only does the fullness of our soul come forth, but we call down towards us that greater consciousness. We are not the first to tread this path. Sri Aurobindo and Mother have forged a way forward. Sri Aurobindo, by the time he had reached Pondicherry, already had a vision of what that supreme light was. For 40 years he worked on bringing it into robust manifestation in human life. To put a seed of that golden consciousness into earthly soil so that it could grow and flower was all his aim. His companion, collaborator on this path, the mother, he saw as the agent best fitted to make that breakthrough, find a way not only to the heights of that consciousness, but discover the means by which it could be imported into earth consciousness. How to do that? She worked after Sri Aurobindo's departure for years together. As 1956 approached, she was facing colossal problems within the ashram and outside, in the inner worlds, as well as in external circumstances. And yet, she could feel the approach of that truth, because, fittingly, all the contradictions, all the oppositions that we could possibly experience have to give rise to their full expression, utter who it is that they are, give voice to themselves, so that those voices can somehow be made concordant, and their secret selves revealed, so that we could have a symphonic oneness upon earth. So all the ugliness buried in the earth, manifest in humanity, has to come forth. We ought not to turn our heads away from recognizing that. And yet, at a pitched moment of such inner battles, Mother could perceive that this hour of God was coming. Brahma Muhurta, the hour of God in Sanskrit. At the beginning of this year, we listened to her music and her statement that the greatest victories are the least noisy. Tonight, we've heard the music recorded on the 29th of February in 1960. We might say it was the first anniversary because the supramental manifestation occurred on Leap Day, when the world took a leap forward. as she went into her study of the synthesis of yoga with the students in the playground that evening, forming a semicircle around her. She read to them, translating Sri Aurobindo's English into French, about the sacrifice that the Purusha makes in investing himself in this world. At the very basis of things lies the supreme consciousness. It seems to have fallen into an utter blackness. But it is only the presence of that divinity in the blackness of inconscience that makes the flowering of the universe at all possible. Without that, this manifestation would have fallen into nothingness. But it has not. From that basis of the inconscience, there has arisen a structured universe, first of matter, and then manifesting life, and to our point of evolution, mind. But that distance between the inconscient and even the organized surface of matter is colossal. So what is it that could stir that sleeping presence below into activity? It would take a radiant being manifesting upon Earth in these middle grades, matter, life, and mind, pulling down, forcing entry into this world of that highest superconscient light, breaking through that transversal line which separates the unmanifest from the manifest. And so, having read the sense of those words about the sacrifice of the Supreme Being to the children, they entered into their meditation. And there on that playground, the mother, leaning slightly forward, had an experience which she recorded right afterwards. She says, during the common meditation on Wednesday, the class with the children at the playground, this evening, the Divine Presence, concrete and material, was there present amongst you. I had a form of living gold, bigger than the universe. And I was facing a huge and massive golden door which separated the world from the divine. As I looked at the door, I knew and willed in a single movement of consciousness that the time has come. And lifting with both hands a mighty golden hammer, I struck one blow, one single blow on the door, and the door was shattered to pieces. Then the supramental light and force and consciousness rushed down upon Earth in an uninterrupted flow. The supermind, in its nature and in its action, is a manifestation of what is transcendent. It is true being, always aware of itself, always delighted in its movement. And as it descends into the Earth atmosphere, it brings with it all of its values. What it is, it cannot leave above. It comes with itself here. So what it brings is at once an answer to the yearning cosmos, as well as to the aspiring soul of the human who represents all of Earth and evolution. Now, we have a particularly important role, a role of great responsibility, in doing all that we can to manifest a deeper and higher consciousness, to go beyond the ego, to leave behind ignorance. But if we would participate, we begin from where we are, not from where we want to be. And on a day like this, if one gathers the attention inside, goes inward and lives in the vicinity of the soul consciousness, indeed penetrates and dwells in that innermost chamber, then, taking your asana, your seat there, turning your gaze outwards, you can sense and feel the dynamic descent of that supramental consciousness as it continues to pour itself into the earth nature, its atmosphere, and below into an inconscience which seems to swallow it up, but which is itself getting continually filled with this golden presence. And on the way, as you peer out through the portals of manifestation, you see in the mind. The mind can hardly be aware. It sees something but knows not what it is. As it descends into the heart and the life, those members are surcharged with power and uplifted and feel immortality present. And as it dives beyond, through the body, coursing towards the roots of the earth, even the physical quivers with its touch, trembles at its approach and its passage. And as it makes its dive complete, as that supramental bird, fearless, flawless, serene, majestic, sails into what seems to us blackness, we know that it hearkens the supreme victory, because always when it dives, it comes out again. It is the great bird. It is the Paramahansa. It is the emblem of the supreme soul itself. The sanction has been made, and in its dive, that bird, that great consciousness, the vast, the Mahas, awakens sleeping divinity. That is there at the basis of the inconscience, and it stirs and raises its eyes and looks forward and upwards and says, also, the time has come. Mother had this experience of the supramental manifestation. She didn't call it a descent, did not want it to be associated with her as if it was her personal victory. She called it a manifestation because it stood for the earth. But, truth being what it is, she was the channel through which it came. She was the golden force, that form which and who lifted a golden hammer and gave one mighty blow to cause it all to come here. But, when she came out of that trance on the 29th of February in 1956, sitting on the playground with the children and those few adults around, she thought they would all be flattened from the enormity of the force in its descent. But they were picking up their pillows, gathering their things, going off to dinner. She made a note. That we've read about a month later on the 29th of March, that day when in 1914 she had first met Sri Aurobindo and seen him physically. There was a pranam, and she gave to each person who came to her a print of a painting by Krishnalal, one of the ashram's great artists, called The Golden Purusha. There was on it a familiar quotation from her prayer written on 25 September 1914. The Lord has willed, and thou dost execute. A new light shall break upon the earth, a new world shall be born, and the things that were promised shall be fulfilled. Some of the seekers met her later. She took back that message and made an alteration. Lord, thou hast willed, and I execute. A new light breaks upon the earth, a new world is born. The things that were promised are fulfilled. Changed the tense, no longer something prospective looking into the future, here and now, where it always matters, in the here and now. So what it symbolizes is the manifestation of what is timeless and eternal in time. What this event symbolizes is that supreme consciousness arriving upon this imperfect world to transform it into a figure of perfection, where perfection can have a voice, where opposition can be lifted up into an ultimate harmony. Where cosmos and individual can lean into each other as part of this grand dance, which is the universe. And let us go forward together and see what we may make of it on this cosmic journey. Yoga, to our way of looking at things, begins with personal effort. But really, there is a cosmic yoga from the very beginning, from that first movement of the Purusha to establish itself here. And both cosmos and individual are partners in redeeming the promise and the pledge that that Purusha made in that great descent. We begin to ascend, and then we meet a liberating descent to enable and ennoble us. We have much to do. But it is a golden beginning and a golden day that ushers in the active possibility that it may be sooner than we thought. Let us not look to the future in the future tense. Let us act now in the present tense. So, thank you for listening. I appreciate your patience. Happy Golden Day to you. 60 years ago, in a sense, it's the 15th birthday of the Golden Day. Only every 4 years can we celebrate it. Let's gather again in 4 years. Jai Ma, Namaste, in gratitude to her, the pathfinder, the trailblazer, she who conquers, Anandamayi.